As I said, I'm Steve Singer. I'm a graduate student from SIU in Carbondale. My advisor is Dr. Wong. And this project is funded through the Searle Office and Champaign, so co-authors are Heidi Howard and Alan Anderson. Today I'm going to be talking about cumulative training impacts for sustainable military land, carrying capacity, and the environment. So just a quick background. The Army has over 5,500 sites, which totals over 30 million acres of land. And on many of these sites, there's land degradation caused by military training. So a lot of studies, including this one, focus on the environmental health of these training sites and the carrying capacity. This research focuses on intensive training, and by intensive training, we're talking about tanks, heavy trucks, maybe even heavy artillery, not really ground troops or anything like that. But these training activities cause fragmentation on these sites, which in turn restricts not only the environmental health on those sites, but also the training, in that a site can get so degraded that the vegetation will not grow back, so it's impossible for the troops or trucks to go back through there and train. So the goal is to create a universal model for land managers to help improve sustainable training and environment on these military sites. So the objectives of this model, there's a few of them, obviously. First was to select spatial metrics for the analysis. These metrics, there's a couple hundred of them, but we wanted to narrow them down to ones that focused on fragmentation specifically. Along with that, we researched different resolutions and a couple of different sources of imagery to try to find the best combination. And with those, we derived different remote sensing and GIS layers, obviously. And towards the end, we want to create an integrated indicator layer that will evaluate the environmental quality on these training sites. So after that, time series maps will be created with the environmental quality, and the threshold for those time series maps will be determined too. So for the segmentation and the classification, we used IDRISI TIGA, which is the newest version of IDRISI. The reason we chose this is simply because of the ease of the segmentation tools within this program. It's based on a moving window and spectral similarity within that moving window on a user-defined threshold. So within that window, the pixels on the outside of that will be more heterogeneous, or vary more than the pixels within the center of that window. So a smaller threshold that is determined will create very small polygons, but at the same time will take a very long time for the program to run. So with that, we compare different threshold values of the segmentation. And like I said, what we pretty much came up with was, with a finer resolution to obtain segmentation that you were satisfied with, you would almost have to run the program overnight. A lot of times I would go into my office and set it at 10 o'clock and let it run overnight, come in the next morning and it'd be running still, or it'd be done and it'd be too fine, or just not what we were looking for. So on top of that, we compared, like I said, two different sources of imagery, TM and India. And then with that, we did two different transformations, PCA and the Broby transformations. We also looked at different resolutions within the India. So we broke it down from 5 to 30 meters in 5-meter increments. And then there are two different classifications that we looked at, maximum likelihood and the SEG class tool, which was a part of the IDRISI TIGA segmentation tools. It's very broad, but I'll get into that one later. So then quantifying these landscapes, we used a program called FragStats, and it can quantify or quantify metrics on three different levels. Landscape level, which looks at the entire study area. Class level, which will look at each individual land type that you've identified, and then the patch level, which examines each individual segment that was produced from the previous segmentation. So the metrics that we chose, real quick, interspersion and juxtaposition, IGI, and it's based on patch adjacencies. If you have a high, the closer you get to 100 means the patches are equally bordered. So if you have like five patches, then they all equally border each other. If it's closer to zero, you may have five patches, but two or three of them dominate. The AI, the aggregation index, is similar to that, except it looks at adjacencies between cells instead of the entire patch. The LSI is a landscape shape index. It is very similar to the edge density. It looks at the total edge within the study area over the total amount of study area. So a higher LSI means most likely that you have a more fragmented landscape. Edge density at the class level is similar to LSI. And then we just have the average patch size and the average fractal size at the class level as well. At the patch level, we only chose two metrics. So we have the perimeter and the fractal dimension. Pretty much, we thought if you can compare the total length of each patch and compare it to the fractal shape, you can be able to tell which shapes are more fragmented. So this is a study area. It's in north central Kansas, as I'm sure all of you know, Fort Riley. This actually isn't from Fort Riley. I went out there this summer, and unfortunately I couldn't get anything like this. But this just gives you a quick example of how damaging these the tanks and the trucks can be to the training site. So this is a comparison of the intensity of training to the ground cover from 89 to 2001. And as you can see, and as you would expect, as the training days are increased, the ground cover decreases. And then, as you can see there, 94, 95, whenever the training decreases a little, the ground cover increases. And this is, it's the same thing except with canopy cover, and the same tendencies as well. As you may have noticed, we didn't actually have training days for 2000, but we had satellite data, and it corresponds to that drop off in 2001, because 2000 actually showed quite a bit, not a lot, but enough training that it would drop off the next year. So these are some Landsat images we used in conjunction with just a natural RGB for classifications. But what these show are correlation with disturbance. So the very dark areas are bare ground or burnt off areas. Fort Riley still does burn off parts of the site. Here's this continuation the last few years. As I said, in 2000, you can kind of see up there in the northwest portion of the area how disturbed it is. So this is a resolution comparison for the India images. There's a couple things that stand out here. At the 5 meter, which is in the top left, you see more bare ground, and it dissipates as you get closer to the 30 meter, which was kind of expected. One thing we did not like at all with India, and it's hard to see just on this study area, but it had a lot of trouble with water. There are small patches of water in every single one of these images in the eastern portion of the study area. It showed up a lot more whenever we looked at the entire image. So on sites that have more water, India image may not be very good. This is a comparison of just TM and India image. That's on the left. In the middle is the Brovey versus PCA transformations. And then on the right are the two different classifications that were used. And on the right, you can see in the bottom right, it's the said class tool that's provided with Taiga. And as you can see, it's very blocky. It's useful in some ways, but for the most part, we stuck with maximum likelihood. In the Barovia image, you can definitely see how the India image struggles with the water and the trees. And in fact, it seemed like the Barovia transformation sort of enhanced the IRS source with water. So these are some frac stats from two of the high intensity years. The frac stats actually didn't come out the way we originally thought they would. For example, in 91, we thought the LSI would be a lot higher than what it turned out to be. One of our ideas for why it didn't is those big spots, the big bare ground is, I mean, they're just big blocks. And in some of the later years, where there's a bunch of small patches, the LSI is a lot bigger, even though the training intensity may not have been as high as in 91 or 93. This is kind of furthers the point. These are two low intensity years, and the LSI is very similar to those the previous two. And all of them, the aggregation index is pretty similar. But the IJI does show some differences, as you will see later, between the years. So this is just a quick classification of all the years. And right off the bat, you can kind of tell which ones are highest intensity in training. Some years, the TM did have problems with bare ground and built up, which can be shown in 1999. There were only a couple years where it had problems with it. That spot in the middle right there in 99 is actually burnt. But we felt that the advantages of TM were far greater than some of the advantages from the India images. Now, if you notice here in 2001, how it doesn't look quite as disturbed as some of the other ones, but it's very patchy. And on this graph that has all the years 89 through 2001, you just see that 2001 definitely has the highest LSI, which would convey that it is the most fragmented year. But we were just kind of surprised. We were actually hoping to see a better trend whenever we put all these together. That didn't happen. So that kind of set us back just a little bit. So here's some conclusions. The high intensity training does cause fragmentation. As we said before, it restricts the environment and the training. Obviously, whenever there's an increase in training days in a year, it decreases ground and canopy cover. Even with those deficiencies that I've mentioned with the metrics, we feel that the ones chosen can still quantify fragmentation. And as I also said earlier, we also think the TM, even though it's at 30 meters, still showed a better, had a better advantage of classifying than India and the PCA and the Barovia transformations that we did. So we're not quite done with the study. The last thing we need to do is to create the indicator layer and determine the threshold value for those metrics. That threshold value we thought would be a little easier, but as that graph showed, it didn't quite show the trend that we were looking for. But in the end, we hope that this model will help land managers just more easily assess the changes in the landscape from year to year. And along with that, you know, we can kind of give suggestions or guidelines for maybe different sites with different landscape features. Like I said, maybe with more water, you may want to switch over to India, things of that nature. I have to give a special acknowledgement to Searle and the ITAM team out in Fort Riley who gave us the burn data. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Could you describe how you used your transformation? Was it geographic or you reached transforming the reflectance data?
It was geographic. So with the Barovi, we used bands 4, 3, and 2 from TM, and just multiply that by the natural 5 meter India resolution. Like I said before, we were actually surprised. We both thought that would probably be the best combination, but with that one Barovi example I showed, it seemed to almost made the India problems even worse with the water and the trees. With the bigger image and that lake on the west side of the study area, it was almost like half water and half trees. It was unbelievable how bad that classification could be.
I was wondering, you kind of alluded to towards the end, but is there any thought of in the future taking it and classifying different sections of the installation?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the goals, where the land managers can look at different sections and say, hopefully with that environmental indicator that's created, you can say, we just need to stay away from this area, maybe move to a different part of the base. So that is definitely one of the goals.
What I kind of meant is applying a different imagery technique for a different type of land use, like the heavily trained upland area versus the low land.
You mean using a different source of imagery?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And we've talked about that before. In Georgia or Colorado, they may definitely use a different source of imagery, and the techniques they use may be tweaked just a little bit. Hopefully, this will give everybody a good guideline of what to follow.
I think that's all the time we have.